I like to do what I'm going to do today, but I also don't like to do what I'm going to do today. Because in telling my story, when I tell my story, it encourages, and people will say, wow, God is good. But for me, it brings back a lot of emotions. It brings back a lot of those feelings that I had. And you know, in the Church of America, we have this confusion that's going on. This confusion between give thanks in all circumstances, be joyful always. Consider it pure joy, my friends, when you face trials. We have a conflict there that makes part of the church believe that the way that we deal with problems is pretend there are no problems. The way we deal with the things that hurt is by saying they don't hurt. But they do. They do. So I want to give you some context rather than go through the whole story with a video that was produced for us.
May 2nd, 2011, I was running around Animal Kingdom in Florida, having a blast with my wife, going on roller coasters, all that stuff. May 3rd, I was in Florida hospital. A doctor came in after doing a CAT scan. And she said, your liver has shrunken up and is basically useless. And without a transplant, immediately, you're gonna die.
When I found out that they didn't know if he was gonna need a transplant within 48 hours or however long, I mean, I was crushed because I just had no idea what to think or where that put me in my life at that time.
Organ donation, finding an organ donor, is not an easy thing. And so 18 people in the United States every day die waiting for an organ, and that's hard. But then there was this other thing called a living donor, and they told me I could have somebody donate a portion of their liver, about half, a little bit more than half, and the liver would grow back in them to 100% within 4 to 6 weeks.
We knew that there was the option of waiting for people who were liver donors who had passed away to have the chance to give on their organs. Well, that's a beautiful thing. We also knew there was the possibility of live liver donors. I remember when we found out that he needed the transplant, just praying, just God, you know, let it be me. And it felt like, as soon as I prayed that prayer, that he gave me the sense of peace.
Scripture says, by his stripes we are healed. And I look and I say, you know, by his stripe, I am healed. To find out more about becoming an organ donor and expressing true love through that, you can easily just register within 5 minutes at organdonor.gov. And man, I would love for you to do that. I've got friends who are waiting.
Now,
it almost seems unreal. You know, when I see, let's close in prayer. when I look back and see all that God has done over these 10 years, I'm just so thankful, so grateful. But I want to tell you, during that time, life sucked. I'm sorry that word offends you, but it did. I just don't have, I have some better words, but I won't say those words. It was, I remember going through times of just being so depressed. Like, how could this happen? I had been in youth ministry for 25 years, and I had decided, I came home one afternoon, and I told Robin, I said, I just feel like we're too comfortable You know, we had a nice cushy job and a nice church running a maintenance youth ministry with a lot of kids, but it didn't really feel like there was any risk to it. And I just felt like it's time to do something else. I also knew I didn't ever want to do another lock-in in my life. So, you know, I knew it was time. And so we started exploring, and I ended up going in for my master's, and I ended up studying for church planting. And the vision that I had was this cool, hip church in a storefront by a college campus, and it was going to be so cool. No wooden pews, that's for sure. None of that stuff. And I had gone through the process and some of the training and all of that, and was ready to go and plant and start at the beginning of the summer in 2011. And then this happened. I joke now that I thought I heard the Lord say church plant, and what he really said was transplant. But that year was just miserable. How much does this weigh? How much do you think this weighs? It's full of coffee. 2 pounds? 3 pounds? 1 point? Yeah, I just drank some. You know, the weight is really irrelevant. The weight stays what the weight is. And if I hold it for a minute, I'm fine. If I hold it for an hour, it starts to get heavy. If I hold it for 5 hours, it starts to become painful. I hold it for 10 hours and my arm becomes numb. So what do I do with this heavy coffee? I can set it down. He had an organ transplant. I could set it down. I could ask my friend to hold it, carry it for a while for me. You know, that's some of the burdens that we have. They're heavy. And there were times during this transplant journey where the only faith I had was the faith of others. Because there were times where I had just lost hope. I just felt like this that I'm going through is miserable. And when you think of the hardest thing you've been through, your question becomes, where is God? If God was loving, why would I go through this? Some of you have lost spouses. You've lost children. Some of you are facing a diagnosis right now that the doctor says, this, you have no hope. Some of you who are listening online have lost your home. You're living in your car. And life is hard. And then what are we to do with scripture that says, always be joyful? Does it mean we're always supposed to be doing the happy, happy, joy, joy dance? That's a Ren and Stimpy reference for any of you guys. No Ren and Stimpy fans, sorry. No, it's like, yeah, all right. Got it. Stimpy, you idiot. Yeah, terrible cartoon, never watch it. But are we supposed to just deny all that stuff and pretend? And I remember I had friends who were, they're good people, they mean well. And they would come and they would visit me. My first visitor that came, and really after my learning of my transplant, some of my first ones beyond family, she came in and she really meant well. But she gave me a book about how to die. You remember that? Yeah. Robin remembers.
Was it Robin?
No. Robin never, well, she only had one time where her hope wavered. She believed, we're getting through this, and God's going to take us through this, and we're going to be fine. Me, Mr. Pastor Man, Mr. Religious Guy serving the Lord, I was like, nah. At times I was like, I'm pretty sure God hates me now. I don't know why. And you know the people who always talk about karma? Shut up. What the heck? Karma. Is this because I cut off that old lady when I didn't see her coming? And people would come and they'd say, Scott, we're praying for you. You need to be joyful. Consider it joy, brother. Forget what is behind and press on. Just do your happy dance. And put on fake. You know, I understand. I read this text in 1 Thessalonians. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, there is a way to be thankful and get through the hardest of times. I want to tell you that I stand here today thankful for what I went through. I stand here today more convinced that God is who He says He is. There is hope. So even though Paul said, forgetting what is behind, forgetting what is behind, I press on. He also has times he lists exactly what was behind. So I look and I go, wait a minute. He goes through, I was shipwrecked, I did this, I did that. He goes through the portion of I was a sinner beyond all sinners, and I, you know, he goes through that. And I want to say, but wait a minute, you forgot what was behind, right? Well, doesn't that mean you forgot it? So how are you making this list, dude? How are you doing it? Forgetting what is behind means not letting it stop my steps forward. Not letting it stop me from pressing on. And for each of us, pressing on looks different. For some of us, in the place of depression so deep that we do what I did and lay on a couch. And I used to lay there with my sweatshirt on and hood pulled up over my head and tied. And I was like, I was so depressed. Forgetting what is behind, I press on. But then Paul recounts the things that happen. Here's the thing. Toxic positivity is the belief that no matter how dire or difficult the situation is, people should fake a positive mindset. You've heard fake it till you make it. Not in the church. And we're going to get into that, of how many times we're told to share our burdens with one another. Let Brad hold your cup of coffee if you're too tired. Share our burdens. And so when we look and say that mindset, toxic positivity rejects all difficult emotions in favor of a cheerful and often falsely positive facade. That's a facade, means fake. Be fake. And when our church, when our people, when we misunderstand what Scripture is saying and we think that the thing is that we can never be struggling. And so we put on a happy face all the time. We're missing what Scripture really says. In Galatians 6:2, somebody look it up and read it for us. Interactive. We got it over here. Katie's got it. What does it say, Katie? Stop. Carry each other's burdens. But there are no burdens. Forget them. They're gone. Forget what is past. Move ahead. Be joyful always. Do the. But Scripture's telling us to bear one another's burdens. Help carry the load. In Acts chapter 2, that when all the believers were together and had everything in common, and they saw each other's needs, and they knew each other's needs, and they took care of one another. If they were all faking it, we wouldn't know. There are so many times in Scripture where Scripture will tell us that there are burdens. The Bible does not deny hard times at all. In fact, if you take all the hard times out of the Bible, you're not going to have a whole lot left, because the Bible is telling us life is hard, but God is still God. God is still in control. God is God. So these things that happen to us in a broken world, man, I will hear something and I'll just cringe when people will be like, well, the Lord must have had a reason for giving you cancer. And I say, well, what? No, the broken world, that's part of where disease comes from. The broken world, this wasn't, God created a disease-free Garden of Eden for us and said, hey, it's your choice. Want to live here? And we said, nah. I want to do it on my own. And we've been doing it on our own ever since. And then we keep coming back like a toddler who stuck a fork in an outlet, going, Daddy, what happened? I don't understand. I'm mad at you. Well, I didn't stick a fork in the outlet. I told the outlets are bad. You see, we can see in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord. We just read in Galatians 6:2. We see 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves and cast all your anxieties. Listen, if we've forgot them all, that means we don't have them anymore. Scripture says cast your anxieties on God, because anxieties are real. Hard times are real. 400 years as the children of Egypt were in slavery and bondage, they still worshiped God and put their hope in Him. So I can go through, and if any of you want all of them, I'll give you this list, and you can go through all, maybe I'll just post them on Facebook as a list, so you guys can look all of them up. So here's the thing, in Psalm 23, there's this part, yea, though I skip happily along, forgetting all that is behind and pressing forward, as though Paul meant be in denial. That's not what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, no bad, because why? God is with me. During one of those times when I was praying to God that He would just let me die. The pain was so intense. I was just praying, God, let me die. My son, this was before transplant, sent me the 23rd Psalm. Look at that young kid.
You're shepherd's staff that comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow.
So I played that over and over again, and I wept. My son in his dorm room in Manhattan, sending this to Dad. You are with me. You're always with me. So this, always be joyful. See, I learned that with others carrying my burdens, when I'd give them to them, when I'd ask them to pray, when I'd share those and be real with them, it helped lighten the load. I learned that I can always be joyful in who God is, even though I'm not joyful in this circumstance. And that's why so many people think this Christian story is ridiculous. You're telling me when this tragedy just happened in my life, just be happy about it. That makes no sense. It doesn't make sense. And it's not what God is saying. He's being, be joyful, always be joyful in the God who is your refuge, in the God who is your deliverer, in the God who is your hope. Always be joyful. And through my transplant journey, I started to shift. I started to shift and see. I was going from depressed and angry into singing, "Your grace is enough for me." Remember that song, "Your grace is enough"? I sang that a bazillion times. I never meant it until I meant it, because it was all I had. Always be joyful. Never stop praying, even if those prayers are your constant crying out to God and begging Him. I was begging Him for mercy. I was begging Him for relief. I remember, and I've told you this story before, I'm not one of those guys you see on TV. Jesus doesn't show up and talk to me while I'm shaving. It's not that I've had a lot of visions in my life and nightly I have dreams. It's none of that. But this one time that I've told some of you about before, and I'll tell it again because there are a lot of us that are new. I remember laying on the bathroom floor on the cold linoleum in our house, and it was the middle of the night, and I was laying next to the toilet, and I just hurt so bad. And I was just begging God, take me. Just take me. End this. Please end this. And I thought if there was a gun in the house, Robin would have woken up to a bang. I considered getting in my car and driving as fast as I could, but I figured I would just end up maimed and needing a liver transplant. It's my luck. And I was just begging, God, just let me die. And I looked up. And I swear, I know it doesn't make any sense. It's the only time this has ever happened to me. I saw the picture that I have of Jesus, and He's not the guy that I call Kevin that you see in churches, you know, the guy with the blue eyes, and he's chiseled, you know, handsome, kind of blonde highlights, you know. You don't see that guy if you're in Israel. He's not out there walking around. So here I look, and in the bathroom, sitting over, leaning against the wall, and I can still see it now, with his arms around his knees. And he said to me, "I've got you." And that's all. And at that moment, the pain just went, and peace came, and I went back to bed. And now half of you think I'm a nutcase. And I've had people explain to me what really happened. That was a hallucination because of your mind and because of the way our minds work with pain that creates this hallucination to get you to be able. And I'm like, well, praise God, he gave me hallucinations where I see Jesus. I'll take it. I'll take it. Thank you. All right. You explain it however you want to, but I know it was the Lord. So I've got you. Each night in the hospital, 186 days prior to my transplant the year before, about 180, 186 days in the hospital, before Josh gave me about 60% of his liver and the Lord used that to heal me and give me a second chance. Before that year of brutal recovery started after that, I counted on my Christian friends to help carry my burdens. I depended on their faith. I couldn't go to church. It was none of that. You guys who are online, I understand. I mean, some people are like, this isn't real. It was the only thing I had, and I know it's real. And I counted on that, and like you get said last week, she praised. She started singing praise songs. And I had a playlist on my iPad. And it would be midnight. I'd be 2 hours before I could have my next shot for pain. And I'd be miserable. And I would start my playlist. And I had that sense that God was with me. And so I want to share this song with you that still brings back all of the feels, because the Lord used it to minister my heart in music. And I think if you're in that place where some of us are struggling, hitting something, nobody knows each other's stories unless we share our burdens with each other, that maybe this will be your prayer too, or that you can find comfort in it, knowing that God is with you. Me walking. that we're with God, that he never leaves us or forsakes us. And God gradually took my prayer from anger. And it was okay that I was praying with anger. He took my prayer from depression to a place where I started saying, okay, God, you're God. So whatever you want, if it's that I'm going to wrap up this life on earth, I pray I do it in a way that glorifies you. But if it's to continue, then God, you've got everything I have. Because you stand here with me. And I can't stand here with you without being moved by your presence. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. And that's the message I have for you today. That gratitude attitude does not mean denial. Some of us are on, you know, day six of recovery again, and nobody knows it. Some of us are carrying tough things in our marriage, and nobody knows it. Some of us are facing medical things, nobody knows it. You're carrying it. It's getting heavier and heavier. I'm not saying stand up here and tell the whole room, but I'm saying find that person you trust to share those burdens with. And in doing that, always be joyful in the fact that God is God. And he will be with you, and he has a plan, and he's not going to abandon you. And I just like, whoa, yeah. And that's how, when we know that, we can always be joyful. We can never stop praying. And when we're saying, I can't even pray, I don't even know how to pray, if I tell that to Dana, I know he's going to pray. And his prayers are effective, is what Scripture says. As we pray for each other. But if we run around playing fake all the time and pretend everything is happy, happy, joy, joy, we never get that chance to support. Be thankful that God is God in all circumstances. Be thankful that he's working his purposes even though we don't understand them. Why? People are always asking me, I don't know what God's will is. What's God's will for my life? Here, read this. It says, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, and be real with each other. And we will have that gratitude attitude. Let's stand up, pray together. And if you're leaving because you're feeling bummed, hey, I'm alive. Woohoo! I am not at all bummed. Telling my story is hard. It brings back emotions. It brings back all those feels. It brings those things. But I want to tell you now that I never envisioned what God was going to do with me. I never envisioned that I'm going to have five little grandkids that just operate at 160 decibels at all times. You know, I just never imagined. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who created us and did not abandon us. That you go through these hard times in our broken world, that you go through them with us. Father, might we be joyful in that. Might we be real with finding a Christian friend, another person that shares our faith, and just be real with each other and carry each other's burdens and never stop praying for each other. And Father, that will make us thankful. I thank you so much for this church. I thank you that it's my family, it's my people, and I love them so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.